Good morning. It's good to be here today and to have the opportunity to share together with you, particularly with our lovely panelists here. I'm Lynette, and this is Murray, and we're just going to lead this, these lovely people, Sophia, John, Paul, and Tony. Cue the slide, are going to be our panelists today. The last couple of weeks at church, we've been learning about prayer. What is prayer? How do we hear from God? What does it look like to have a lifestyle of prayer or grow towards this? How does the Spirit lead us to pray? And how does prayer impact our lives, the lives of others, and our church? Together we are indeed privileged to have Paul, John, Sophia and Tony share some of their stories and experiences with us. During our preparation for today, we've been able to spend some time with each of our panel guests and have had some very rich conversation with all four of them over about 4 or 5 hours. Today is not going to be 4 or 5 hours because Alex wouldn't let us. But today is really just going to be scratching the surface on those conversations. But we will be picking up on some of the highlights of those conversations, which we have really been praying will be a blessing and encouragement to you all.
Morning. So for those in the congregation who don't know you guys, can you give us just a brief intro into who you are and what life looks like for you? We're going to start with Tony on video.
Hi, I'm Tony Long. I'm married to Kevin. We have 3 children, Brianna, who's married to Lazarus, Marissa, who's married to Caleb, and Jackson, who still lives at home with us. And I'm part of the TBC online community. Life for me on a daily basis is quite challenging. I have a chronic illness. That just means that I've had it for a long time. I caught a virus 35 years ago and never fully recovered. Over the years, it has meant that my energy levels have been affected. At times, I've just been a little bit weary, and at other times, I've been exhausted and struggled to do anything. I also have brain fog, and this means that there are times that I can't find information that's stored in my brain. Today is one of those times. So please excuse me referring to my notes. 7.5 years ago, my symptoms got significantly worse, and I also became sound sensitive, hence the need for me to watch online each week rather than gather with you. I now struggle to be around lots of noise and rarely leave the house due to low energy. I spend most of my days at home on the couch reading a book because I'm physically unable to do much more than that. If you do see me out and about, it'll mean I'm having a good day and I'm making the most of it.
Paul.
Are we there? Yep. Hi, my name's Paul. I'm married to Sharon. We have 2 boys, Ben and Jesse. Ben comes here. For my daily job, I drive a truck and deliver freight around Auckland. And something interesting about me, my mum was born in India, so I have an Indian heritage, and I love curry.
John.
Yes, I'm John. I'm 95 years old, and I think that has something to do with why I find myself up on the stage now. As you might have guessed, I'm now retired, but before that was a mechanical engineer. Over the years, I've travelled many parts of the world, including working for 3 years in England and 2 in the United States. And it was while I was in the US that I met Anne, whom I married. Then after our wedding in 1961, we settled in New Zealand, first in Wellington, and from then, 92, in Titirangi. Now that I am retired, I spend time playing tennis, attending U3A study groups, walking and studying all sorts of topics, including various aspects of the Christian faith.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sophia. I am a student. I'm currently in my second year of studying occupational therapy. I also work part-time, and I'm a youth leader.
Thank you. Prayer can be different for everybody. It can be different in different seasons and different times. Sophia, what is prayer for you, and how is it important in your life?
Just simply, prayer to me is a conversation. It's a conversation between me and God that I can have whenever and anywhere. It's a way for me to share and speak to God, but also for me to be guided and to listen to God. Prayer is my lifeline, but it's also a place that I dwell and rest and recover in Jesus. I love that I can bring everything and anything to him. And I think prayer for me can be silent, it can be out loud, it can be, yeah, anything and however I want to. And it's really important to me because without God, I can't do anything. I feel it's really precious to me to be able to pray and have that relationship with God.
Thanks. I love those words. Prayer is a place to rest and recover. It's cool. You're next, John. Thank you.
Prayer to me is partly talking to God and partly being guided by him. As far as getting ideas for what to pray about, I found Nehemiah 9 to be a great chapter on the subject and very helpful to me, as it describes a wide range of different prayers that Ezra offered on behalf of the Israelites. By way of summary, the prayer included thanksgiving, praise, adoration, and worship. And I suppose I should also include repentance and confession, because that is what Ezra did. Regarding being guided by God, I would say there are several ways God usually does this. One way I find guidance is by recalling a relevant Bible passage, and I must say that the better I get to know my Bible, the better that approach can work. Then there is discussion with other Christians and being willing to be guided by them. Another way God speaks to us is through our conscience, as Paul reminds us. Then another form of guidance is coincidence, and it is when I look back on certain incidents in my life, I can see a number of remarkable coincidences that I now believe must have been God at work.
Thanks, John. And Paul, what is prayer to you? Why do you spend so much time praying?
Prayer for me is just my daily communication with God. And why it's important for me is that it kind of starts when I get up in the morning and say good morning to the Lord, and then have a quiet time, and then I listen to his word, and then I drive my truck and I have conversations with him about the things that are on my heart, or the things that he's impressed on my heart, and I ask him questions and I seek answers, and we spend the day talking about stuff and the people that I've just delivered to, and what can I say to them, what I can't. So it's like it's an ongoing conversation. And this discussion that we're having today has been interesting, because I don't often define things like that. I don't often think about it, so I've kind of gone, oh, so what do I actually do? And so you get to this place where you're communicating with them all the time, and sometimes you get it right and sometimes you get it wrong, but God's so forgiving in that, and you know, he corrects you and stuff, and he encourages you, and he brings people into your path. So this prayer stuff is just a daily communication, and I love it when, for me, often things don't happen straight away, so I'll talk to God about something I'm worried about, and we'll spend a month or 2 years talking about that, and he'll drop something into my heart, and I go, oh, that's what that was. And an example of that for me, and I shared it with someone the other day, is that I was driving my truck down Dominion Road a while back, and I saw the Mike King Iron Hope. And normally I'd go, oh, Mike King does a great job. And my spirit just went, wow, what's that? I don't like that. And I was talking to God about it, and we spent probably a week, I'm going, why am I grumpy about this, Lord? And then I opened his word, and he said, I am hope. And he just showed me that he's the hope of the world. And I understood what that was about then, you know. But it's conversations like that with God. And why do I spend so much time in prayer? I've come to the realization that it's kind of not about me. And if I can get myself out of the way, it's really, I have nothing without him. And so my prayer is in that area that I pray, because I know I need him so much in my church life, in my family life, in my everyday life. And that's where that comes from. And the more I pray, the more I just spend time with him. I hope that makes sense.
It sure does. Thank you. We asked Tony the same question, why is prayer important to her? But we also asked her how prayer helps her remain connected to God and to others in this time of her life, which can actually be quite isolating for her. This is her answer.
Prayer to me is a wonderful connection to God. I rely on it to sustain me. It brings me joy when we're celebrating answers to prayer, and it brings me peace during the difficult times. Over the years, my prayer life has varied. When life was busy, when our children were at school and I was working, I'd struggle to make time to sit and pray. Most of my prayer was done once I'd dropped the kids off and I'd be driving to the next thing on my list. The space of alone time was time I could spend with God. Life is different now that I'm home most of my days. A few years ago, I was feeling particularly isolated as I was unable to go out or even chat on the phone to catch up with friends and family. I was also feeling like I wasn't achieving anything substantial in my days, but there was so little I could physically do, and this bothered me. Kev suggested that I offer to pray for people. It was something that I had the time and ability to do. I contacted the home group that I used to attend and also some friends, asking them to get in touch if they had prayer needs. It's been such a blessing. I'm feeling connected again, and I also get to celebrate with them when the things we've been praying for have been answered. I have two prayer journals. In one, I write four people that I want to pray for that day, along with their prayer need. And this prayer list is constantly changing. My other prayer journal is filled with the people and situations that I've been asked to pray for by friends and family. And this list is more constant.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I think she's watching this morning. It was really encouraging sitting with Tony and just listening to her about her connection to God through prayer. Is just phenomenal. John, you shared with us that you feel most connected to God in prayer when you have your regular time alone with him. How have you grown in your connection and faith with God through these times?
My time alone includes Bible study and meditation on what I've just been reading and prayer. Also, reading on Christian-related subjects, church history and so on. To answer your questions to how I've grown in my faith, it started as a child when I learned that Jesus loved children, and a lot has been added to my faith since then. I learned about intercession when I heard a minister say that he exhorted his congregation to pray for him, and that he could tell the difference in his ministry when they did, which surprised me at the time, but I've since realized that he could have been absolutely right in what he said. Then another minister led his church in reminding us that we all have gifts. We're expected to discern what they are and to practice them.
That's great, thank you. Paul, you learnt a lot about prayer through your time at previous churches. What did you learn at those times, and what would you say to someone who is beginning or wanting to grow in how to pray?
Well, I guess our journey with prayer, or even the Holy Spirit, started at Keswick Camp when our boys were very young. We were in our early 30s, and we heard about the Holy Spirit for the first time, and, you know, Sharon and I went, wow, we need to find out more about this, which actually meant that we actually left our current church, and we ended up with a church of 500 or 600 people, and they embraced us and encouraged us and brought us alongside them, and they would take us into prayer meetings. They had about 60 to 80 people in them at one time. You know, we'd have altar calls at the front of the church, and 300 people would come forward, and so people would gather us, and they would say, come and listen to how we pray, come and see what happens, and they shared what they had got from God over time, and we were able to ask questions and say, well, this happened in the service, why did that happen? What was God doing here and what was God doing there? And so over time you learnt to be sensitive to what God was doing. And I guess we learnt many things, but the things that I would probably share is that, first of all, you have to invite God into a situation sometimes and say, Lord, we just welcome you here, and when you're praying with someone. And another thing is learning to wait on God. Now, that's a really, really tough thing, is that when you're asking God, so what do you pray for this person, and you're waiting for God to give you an answer and lead you into what to pray for, it takes, you know, it takes a bit of courage. And my example of that would be you guys during the youth group prayer night here. And we were up the front, and it was quiet, and, you know, I'm standing there and I'm going, Lord, don't close this down. Lord, there's something here, there's something here. And you guys are over the other side going, shall we shut it down? And you had the courage to keep it going. And then someone prayed, and then someone else prayed, and it just led into prayer, and God turned up. And that is waiting on God, and that is really tough sometimes, because you just want to shut it down, and it's easier to walk away. The other things that we learnt is that when you pray for someone, it is a blessing and a privilege, because you get a bit of treasure. They share something of their heart with you, and you need to really look after that, because they've actually been vulnerable towards you. So when you pray, and you, yeah, just treat it with treasure, and then you end up praying to that situation. But to pray for people, the other thing is you need people to be vulnerable to come up. And it's not easy to come up when someone says, come and get prayer, because you go, oh, I don't think I can do that. But that's what we need. We need vulnerability. And the last thing I would say is give the glory to God. Because when you pray and God does something, it is not you. It is God's turned up and he's touched those people. And so that's where the glory needs to stay. And so your last part of that question was, what do you do if someone wants to learn how to pray, or who is struggling of how to pray? And I kind of call it my 1 minute prayer. You know, we probably are awake maybe 1,000 minutes in a day, and take one of those minutes and just spend that with God and ask him to enter into your prayer life and grow your prayer life. And if you build a routine around 1 minute, then God can take that and he can turn it into 2 minutes, you know, and then it grows. And you just simply pray something like, Lord, I want to learn how to pray. Father, would you come into this situation? Would you be with me? Would you grow me in this area? Would you show me your heart for people? Would you show me your heart for what you want me to do? And over time, he just grows that. And then I would say the second thing to do would be open his word to the Lord's Prayer, because that's just a great place to start, isn't it? And then look in the word and see where all the people that have prayed before, what they've prayed. And you'll get a theme of prayer through the Bible. And lastly, ask questions of people that you know that pray. Ask them how they do it. You know, they'll be willing to share with you. And so can I just bolt on something else to that? And so that's the prayer part, right? But that same model can work in if you're struggling to read his word. Do it for a minute. and then every day a minute, and then it grows. And you form a habit in your life that means in 20 years' time, that's what you do. You go and be with God and you pray and you read his word, and it's just so encouraging, you know. And then you look back and you see what he's done. I'll stop there.
We are intending blessing you with deadlines today, or maybe going over on some of our questions. I love that. That was so good, so encouraging. And that, you know, the element of just starting small. You know, we don't have to have this massive, great big prayer life out the gate. We've got to start small and just develop in it. Sophia, as a younger person, you were earlier in your prayer journey in relation to some of us. Maybe obvious. What practices, rhythms, steps have you found that have helped you in your journey towards a lifestyle of prayer?
So when I was in youth group, I really wanted to have a relationship with God, and so I'd ask people, how do I have a relationship with God? And they would say, you know, pray and read your Bible. But I did that, and I didn't feel anything, and I thought you're supposed to feel things, and it didn't happen. But I realized that what I really wanted to know was get to know God. But I found that a really tricky situation, because God's not physically in front of me. I can't just, you know, go for a walk with him. But so I got to know God through his physical thing, his Bible that he gave us, and through the stories through the Old Testament that showed his power and his glory, and then through the New Testament, how I found his character. And so I got to know Jesus as my friend, and I realized I can actually go for walks with him. I can always talk to him whenever. So I got to know Jesus as my friend, but I also realized that I don't view God as just some foreign, he's up there just looking at us, but I view him best if I view him as my Savior, as my Lord, as my Father, as my friend. And through viewing him like that, I have a friendship with him and I can relate more to him. And yeah, creation and nature also play a massive part in my faith, because God made everything, and so I often be driving and I'd be like, oh, thank you, God, and then that'll spark a whole new conversation in the car. I also spend a lot of time in the car talking to God, because I feel like I'm not a crazy person talking out loud. I have a half an hour drive to uni, and I love to chat with God about anything and everything, and it might just be me talking, or it might be me listening and talking. And another one is worship music. I love to have worship music playing. I feel like God really uses that in my life and points out lyrics to me that I need to remember. But it's also a way where when I don't have the words, the song will sing it for me and will put what I'm feeling into words. And I feel like it's a really helpful expression to have when I don't have the words that I know what I want to pray, or I don't know. And then Tony mentioned earlier, I also prayer journal. So whether that's bullet points or paragraphs, it's really helpful for me to go back and read back when I'm struggling in my prayer, to go back and be like, oh yes, God did that. Like, God answered that like this. Maybe not the way I wanted it or the way I prayed it when I first wrote it down, but he did answer and he did listen.
Thank you. So many good things in there. I love that, you know, when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit gives you those words, sometimes through music, sometimes through someone else, sometimes through creation. And yeah, that's such a comfort, I think, for us, that we don't always have to know the words, do we? Yeah. Thanks, Sophia. John, you just mentioned to us about your love for the passage in Nehemiah and how it teaches us how to pray, and teaches us about different types of prayer. And it seems often when we gather together to pray that our prayer is often in the form of intercession or bringing our requests to God. What are some of the other types of prayer, and how could we as a church or in our home groups engage in those?
Well, I remember being in a congregation that was asked what we were thinking about as we came to church and entered the church building. And I recall the words of the psalm, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." And it occurred to me that that could be a good practice as we come to church. And then I might quote Psalm 119, verse 62, "At midnight I will rise to give you thanks." And I have to say, I haven't ever quite managed to do that myself, but I pass it on as a good idea for anyone who would like to do that. Then perhaps a little more practical, verse 164 says, "Seven times a day I praise you," and we might manage to do that one. You mentioned intercession taking a lot of our prayer time, and it is an important form of prayer, but there are several things about it that are easily overlooked that I'd like to just comment on. Looking at intercession from God's point of view, if he answers our prayer, it is primarily to build up our relationship with him, or in the case of a non-Christian, to establish that relationship. And sometimes the answer is no, and we have to learn to accept that. And we have the example of Paul asking to have the thorn in his flesh removed, and the answer there, of course, was no, for good reasons. And regarding your question about how home groups could practice different types of prayer, I'd come back to that passage I mentioned before. Nehemiah chapter 9 would be a very good one to work on.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Now, we've already heard a bit of Tony's story. We asked her to talk to us about prayer in the midst of hardship or difficult seasons, and to talk to us about her belief in prayer even when she doesn't see the answers she would like to see for herself, just as John has said. So, Tony.
Prayer in the difficult seasons. That's a tricky one for me, especially over the last 7.5 years. I totally believe that God knows where I am and what I'm facing each day. I believe that he could heal me, either fully or partially, at any moment. It doesn't make sense to me that he would leave me this way when I feel I could be so much more used to him if I could interact with people. But who am I to know the will of God? There are some wonderful verses in 1 Peter that I'm finding particularly encouraging at the moment. It's 1 Peter 1, verses 6 to 9. "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honour on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him. And even now, you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." And so, I continue to pray. Some days, they're polite prayers, asking God to heal me. And other times, I'm more like a toddler having a tantrum, whinging to God. But either way, I try to live my best life each and every day, trying to find the bright side of whatever I'm facing. I figure I could whinge and complain about my situation each day, but if I do, it would just get me down. And there's a verse in Proverbs 17, verse 22, that says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." And I think that that says it perfectly. There's nothing to gain by focusing on the negative. So I rely on God to help me find the bright side of things.
Thanks, Tony, for, I'm looking straight at her. Thanks, Tony, for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing with us your faithfulness through a hard time. Thanks for your example of perseverance and trust in God. Thanks. Sophia, you have also learnt a lot about prayer and God through some challenging seasons in your life. Can you share some of that with us?
Yeah. The biggest thing I think that I learnt was God's heart for me. And I realised that no matter what those challenging circumstances are, that his heart for me is always good. He has a father's heart because we are his children. And I know that he wants the best for me and he wants good for me, even when it doesn't make sense, even when my brain can't comprehend why and what is how he could change that into something good. And that trust led me to really dig deep into believing his love. And I think when it went from knowing his love to believing his love in my heart, that's when it really kind of sunk in and it shifted the way I prayed and the way I persevered. And I knew that there was hope and that there was, yeah, he would just love. And out of that safe love, I was able to be honest with my emotions, honest with my feelings, honest with what I was facing. I was able to talk to him, but I was also able to sit with him afterwards and to listen for his voice, to listen for his encouragement. And from that deeper friendship, I was able to ask him for things that I needed. God, I need your love. I don't feel your love right now. Can you please show me your love today? And so I have often asked God to open my eyes to see his goodness and his love. And on those days when it seems like I'm the least loved, it's most where, you know, the most unexpected things happen and my eyes are just open to his again. I also shifted, well, God challenged me to shift my perspective from why, God, why are you letting this happen? Why are you doing this? To where are you, God, in this? And it gave me a deeper, it also pulled me a deeper relationship with him of reliance and to look for him in everything, in all seasons, whether they're good or bad. And yeah, that was really a precious understanding for me. I also was challenged to pray not just for my circumstances or for the season, but I was challenged to pray for my heart to be changed. God, would you give me patience for this? Or would you give me the love that I need to share? Would you change me and not just my circumstance? And that created another depth of that relationship and that reliance that I need God in all seasons of my life.
Wow, this is so good, eh? Paul, in Ben's first sermon on prayer, he talked about praying in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit in our prayers and praying for and with others, which you've touched on a little bit. But can you speak to that a bit from your experience?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to bare my soul here. When I'm praying for people, I'm really just I'm listening to what they're asking me to pray about, but I'm also talking to God at the same time, saying, Lord, what do you want to say in this situation? Lord, what do you want to say for them? Lord, is there something I'm missing? What would you like to show me? And as I wait on the Lord, I'm trying to discern what he's actually saying. And this is the bearing the soul, but it feels like my ears get about 10 times bigger and I open up my heart and I say, so, Lord, where are you going this? And sometimes I don't get anything and that's the hardest time because I'm thinking, okay, Lord, we're standing here, we want to pray, but nothing's going on. And sometimes he says, pray into the very thing they've asked you about, and then he leads me from there. And sometimes out of that I get a picture, or I get a word, or I sense where God's going, or the Lord gives me words, and I don't feel him, but the other people do. And I love it when he turns up, because you know his presence is there, and you know that he's ministering to them. And the part that happens at the end that I like, probably I find the toughest, but I love the most, is that I disappear after that, and that person's left with God. Because it's not about what I'm praying, it's about what God's saying to them. And then during the week, sometimes the people that I've prayed for, I end up having on my heart as I drive my truck, and I can pray for them again. You know, and I again, secretly want to ask them, what did God do? Where was he taking you last week? You know, but in that place that I talked about earlier about treating stuff with the treasure, you can't always do that. But that's kind of how I do. Again, I'm going to go, they're like my Mickey Mouse ears. I'm trying to listen to where God's going. And yeah, that's how I kind of, if you call it praying in the spirit, that's kind of what it is. Yeah.
Thank you. I think your description, despite the fact that we might all be picturing you now with big ears, I think your description is a really good picture for us to have. To hear the Spirit, we need to be opening our ears and listening. And you're right, there is such encouragement when we pray for someone else, having listened, and we find out from them that actually we did hear from God, because they confirm what we've prayed for them more. Yeah. So thank you for that. Thanks for bearing your soul. Tony also shared with us a way in which she gets led by the Spirit in prayer for others. So we'll just listen to her now too.
One way that God leads my prayers is that during my day, I'll be in the middle of doing something, and I'll get a sense that I need to pray for someone specific. If this happens several times in a day, I'll find that as I lean into God and pray for this person, I might get a sense of what's going on for them. Nothing specific, but maybe a feeling that it's a tough time for them. As I'm praying for them, sometimes God will also lead me to get in touch and check in with them. One friend that I was prompted to check in on several times over the space of a few months said after a few check-ins that it was uncanny how I'd get in touch on the exact days that they were needing encouragement. In fact, there was one day that was tough for her, and when I messaged, she told me that she'd said to her husband earlier that day, "This is a Tony check-in day." God saw us and connected us for that time. While I haven't felt prompted to get in touch with her so much recently, I still pray for her most days. So I encourage you, if you think of someone several times in a day, wondering how they are, pray for them and send a quick text. It doesn't have to say much. I think mine usually say something like, "I'm thinking of you and praying for you today. I don't know what's going on, but know that I'm praying for you." It's not hard to do, but it can mean so much to somebody. They may or may not be going through a tough time, but that doesn't matter. Either way, they'll be blessed by you getting in touch and knowing that you're praying for them.
Well, I just want to thank you all, including Tony, for being so brave and sitting up here and, as you say, bearing your soul. This is prayer is an incredibly intimate thing that we get to do with our Heavenly Father. It's a connection between us and the Creator of the universe. It's a connection between us and our loving Father. And it's an incredible thing to do personally. It's also an incredible thing to do corporately. When we pray together, we are let in on those intimate conversations between us and our Father. And it's a phenomenal access to God that we have, and to share that with others, as Alex said earlier, you know, speaking out together is an important thing as Christians to acknowledge our God. Today we've heard about prayer closets. And you're sitting there saying, I didn't hear prayer closet. We've got a prayer closet that's a truck. We've got a prayer closet that's an office. We've got a prayer closet that's a car. We've got a prayer closet for, with Tony that's in her home in a couch. Places where these people are pulling aside to spend time with their Father. And it's just incredibly rich. And for us, as Lynette said before, we spent 4 or 5 hours with these people just listening and being inspired from young to older, you know, and journeys of faith that are early and journeys of faith that have been over decades. And what we picked up along those journeys is that all four people are still growing and maturing in their prayer journey. They're still learning how to engage and have conversation with God. Prayer is not a thing that you achieve. You don't become proficient in prayer. Prayer is a journey that we always grow in. And acknowledging that enables you to say, I'm not very good at prayer. Pray for a minute, as Paul said. And just grow and grow and grow. And you'll recognize your intimacy with God just developing through that. And it's a phenomenal thing to do on your own, but it's also a phenomenal thing to do with others and to share that with others. And so part of it, as I said, we've had a lot of conversation that we very seldom have with people about prayer. So the encouragement today is in your community, whether it's your home group or your family or whatever it is, to engage in those conversations. What happens between you and God when you pray? Ask those questions of the people. What are the answers you're seeing to God from God in prayer? What are the answers you're not seeing that you're longing for? Have the conversations, because in doing this, we develop in our understanding of who God is and our connection to Him and this beautiful access that we have to Him in prayer. As a church, we have three specific gatherings of prayer on a Wednesday morning, a Thursday night, and a Sunday morning. I encourage you to get involved in those, because you'll get to see God moving in this congregation through those times of prayer, in your home groups, in your families, wherever your community is. Pray together. Let's not just do Christian stuff. Let's engage. Let's knock on the door of heaven and ask God. Let's contend together. So I'm well over time, but I just want to thank you. Thank you guys for sharing, and I'll stop talking. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. We're just going to ask thank you. So we'll just ask the worship team to come up, and the online streaming will now end. But thank you for those of you who have joined online. I hope this has been a huge blessing for you as well. So thank you.